Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
8:06 on the Bob Rose Show. Live and local time check brought to you by Prestige Hayes Jewelers, where the answer is always yes. Special guest in the studio. We talked to him mostly over the phone, but finally we got him in here. State Senator Dennis Baxley in the house. And Mr. Baxley, how you doing, sir?
Great. Great to be with you. And thanks to all your listeners for caring about what happens in this country.
I think the last time I saw you in person was Valor, as you came to speak there a couple of years ago.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of good things going on in our communities. We just need to be out there supporting it, particularly our veterans. And we need to talk about the veterans nursing home, too. That's another issue that's we made some progress on this year.
All right. Well, we have a laundry list here because there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. Let's start with the school safety law that was passed recently, and that raised the age where you could buy a long gun from 18 to 21. I thought for sure that would be a legal issue because it has constitutional things attached to it, I thought, but somehow it passed. You voted no. Why?
Well, I've never voted to restrict or infringe people's right to take responsibility for themselves and others, and I just can't go there. I'd say 80 to 90% of the bill was good stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of it was moving resources towards school safety and mental health issues that need to be dealt with, and that's very important. But when you take and restrict someone's constitutional rights, I've never done that, and I don't plan to.
Well, if you were 100% certain that it would have a positive impact, that'd be one thing, but it appears by anybody with any amount of logic that you can't make that case.
No, the simple things that were in there, somebody asked me, could you live with it? I said, yeah, I could live with it, but I can't vote for it. Right. Because the good news is these restrictions are very limited. They don't do much. The bad news is they don't do much. So
right.
Why are we taking all these people's rights and restricting
law-abiding
them?
Citizens.
Law-abiding
yes.
citizens is not going to change the small subset
Punish them.
Of folks.
You're punishing them.
That's right. And when once you start down that slippery slope, and you already hear folks of that advocacy speaking to that very thing, well, this is just a beginning. And that's exactly.
We are on the exact same page, sir. I can tell you that. Opioids exploding in everywhere around the country, but it seems like Marion County and some of the other rural areas, it's cities too, but rural areas really getting hit hard with the whole opioid thing. You know, the pill mill thing was addressed to some extent, but those of us kind of knew the issue knew they'd be squeezed out into other places. So they're taking stuff. They don't even know if it's fentanyl. They don't know if it's propofol, or they don't know if it's some kind of Chinese stuff, and they're dying.
Yes, sir. Overdoses are way up, and thankfully Narcan and things, we can try to interfere with that, but we still have a bigger problem, and that's just the whole idea that people go down this path of substance abuse. Part of it is definitely a responsibility of the folks who prescribe all these medications, but we have a much broader problem that in our culture that we're dependent on substances, and what happens is we lose that sense of awareness of how dangerous it is, and once that addiction takes hold, they'll sell their own mother.
Yeah, and why would you want to get high to begin with? Like, what is this young person's feeling of, I guess, is there this broad sense of hopelessness for so many people that their escape is, to medicate themselves?
I think that is the broader issue that we need to look at, is why do we choose to do this instead of living a healthy life, an adjusted life? And, quite frankly, for me personally, it centers in faith. They don't have a purpose. They don't have a why for life. And they need to get busy giving themselves away to other people and other things rather than trying to feed their own emptiness by self stimulation of mm-hmm. this kind of nature with narcotics. And the risk factors are very high, And it's very deep in the culture that we've created this kind of a market among ourselves. A lot of it is earlier intervention. I think it's a lot of the pain of life. We have a lot of breakdown of families. Mm-hmm. We're in disrepair. But people have to have a why. And I think that's where faith is a pillar of our culture and our meaning in life. And without those core convictions about faith, family, freedom, and opportunity, if they're not focused there and it's all about me and taking care of me and then you do the wrong things, and then you become dependent.
My concern is, anytime the government or law gets involved, what will happen is law-abiding citizens, under the direction of a physician, will find it more and more difficult to get pain medication. Those who truly need it and are being monitored and are not exceeding their prescribed dosage, those people will be penalized and punished. And the kids who or young people, whoever it is, who are looking for drugs illicitly on the street will still be able to find theirs. But once again, law-abiding citizens will be impacted to the greatest degree. That's my concern.
I agree. We saw it with the pill mills. We had to take, you know, extreme action to get it under control. Other states were begging us to get it under control. People were coming here to haul all these OxyContin and these pills all over the country. And so we did create a situation where I have many constituents that really have a genuine need for pain medications to manage, you know, long-term pain issues off of things like accidents and things, that necrotic pain.
Mm-hmm.
And they were running all over the place trying to find medications.
So. And being treated like, in many cases, a criminal themselves, just because they're looking to address something that is a bona fide chronic condition.
That's right. So anything that's a powerful tool and a wonderful tool in our culture can also be a two-edged sword where it becomes a very destructive one. And definitely when people reach the addiction stage, they're no longer in control of making any real choices.
Yeah, not defending pill mills, but at least when people took those drugs, they had a pretty good idea what they were getting. Now when you go out on the street, you have no idea what's in it, how powerful it is, what they substituted. You literally are taking your life in your hands every time you buy a drug on the street.
Absolutely. And now that they're cutting heroin with fentanyl, it's absolutely frightening because, I mean, it can be instantaneous. But then when somebody's addicted, I've heard police officers talk about having to rescue the same person like three times in a 24-hour period that they overdosed again. So I don't know how we stop that kind of self-destruction. I know that we need to intervene earlier, and I know that we need to move in a different direction with and be sensitive about pain medications and the abuse of them. But it's only part of the story.
The other thing that's killing people, especially young people, is this distracted driving. And Keith Perry was pushing a bill that addressed that, at least to some extent. Maybe not perfect, but at least it addressed it. It didn't go anywhere. Why do you think that is? And do you agree that distracted driving is a problem?
Well, I think he made more progress than he knows, and I think Senator Perry is going to get this bill next year. I feel confident. Because what's happened is I've been evolving personally, because the real problem is not texting. It's distracted driving, and it's dangerous, reckless driving by that distraction. And but I actually felt like texting was the wrong language because, you know, officer, I was looking on my map. You know, I wasn't texting. No, it's the idea that we're not paying attention. But when you look at how the texting itself is so ingrained in the behavior of younger people,
mm-hmm.
And adults. I mean, I think part of the problem is legislators know they're all guilty. And, you know, we feel hypocritical when really the problem is doing anything that takes your attention off and you can kill people. You're in a machine that you're going to kill people.
Yeah, it's definitely something. My concern, once again, is you get government involved, and this will be another tinted window fishing expedition for law enforcement to use. Many times they use that as a way in to stop really bad guys, and a lot of times they just use it as a way in to go fishing. And I'm concerned about that because I know you're a fighter of freedom.
Yeah, I think that became a problem for some people.
Fighter for freedom.
They were afraid it would be an excuse to pull people over. But in fact, it's become too strong an issue, and you are a danger to other people when you're that distracted. And particularly with young people, it's turned out to be a huge issue. And so, yeah, I'm a convert. I think he gets the bill next year, and we've made a lot of progress in moving in the right direction to say this is too serious. You know, if you don't wear your seatbelt, shame on you. That's an offense, but you danger yourself. But when you're not paying attention and you're texting your friends and you run over and kill people and maim them for life, you've hurting other people at that point.
Exactly. Yeah, that's when that's not a freedom anymore, when it intrudes on the freedom of others. All right, I want to continue this. We're talking to State Senator Dennis Baxley. Coming up, free speech on college campuses. Lo and behold, there's actually protection that might be needed in this area. Wow, things have changed, and we're going to continue talking to State Senator next on the Bob Rose Show, live and local, where News Talk 97.3 The Sky. A21 on the Bob Rose Show. State Senator Dennis Baxley in the house. This is the guy who has stood up for Second Amendment rights for a very long time.
Father, stand your ground.
Stand your ground. Castle Doctrine, strengthen that. Everything. You've been involved with that. And I just want to say, I personally appreciate it, and I speak for a lot of gun owners that feel the same way.
Well, it's amazing what you can do if you really believe in freedom. You know, there's always this balance between control and freedom, and I still believe in freedom, and I know that we're a safer society. If you empower law-abiding people to take responsibility for themselves and others, it builds a safer society. In the midst of all this stuff we're hearing, don't forget that we're in a 47-year low of violent crime record in this state.
47-year low. It's important that
freedom
that
works.
The folks hear that. And I had a hidden study by the CDC that came out. In the 90s, they did it. Once they saw the results, they buried it. They never published it. And it showed that guns are used for defensive purposes 3.5 times more than bad guys were using them. 3.5 times for defensive use.
They saved a lot more lives than
they did. CDC did a 3-year study and then buried it.
Yep.
So, good stuff. I love it. And speaking of freedom, what could be more important than the freedom of speech? But apparently on college campuses, they're trying to squelch folks on a regular basis. What are you going to do about it?
Well, they've definitely got a situation to manage, but it's sweeping the country, this idea that we can quiet people who say things that we don't want to hear. And that intolerance has really moved to the left and at this point. And what we had going on is on college campuses, they were starting to deal with this by establishing free speech zones, which means there's a postage stamp spot over here that you get to stand on so that you don't interfere with anybody else because we don't like what you have to say. And so we're challenging that idea and outlawing those in Florida, that our universities would not have free speech zones, that anywhere that was open campus was free to that. Now, of course, they have a responsibility to keep order, and we're not talking about rioting. We're not talking about destruction of property. We're talking about we have simply got to learn how to have civil discourse of all places at universities and attack ideas and debate ideas, whether you and hear things that you don't agree with and say, I don't agree with that.
The interesting thing is, you know, the folks on the left for many years, even when, you know, when I was a young man, were the defenders of free speech. And now it has completely turned the other way. Why the shift in dynamic there? They used to say, listen, be open-minded. That was the definition of liberal, open-minded. That's
absolutely
why I don't use liberal anymore, because it's not properly applicable, because it's far left progressivism.
Well, and I think the globalism view has taken people in that direction, and it's invested in the socialist philosophy. And that is an intolerance. It's a history of totalitarianism, and you don't tolerate anything that questions those thoughts, and you call them hate speech or whatever. And the best way to deal with, and I think University of Florida did a great job dealing with Spencer, and really the best way to deal with people that do things like he does and say things that he does is let them talk to an empty room.
Right. Don't make a big deal about it, and people who want to hear him can hear him, and people who don't care to hear him won't. But, you know, they like you said, eventually the rooms will be empty.
I'll have to say the Board of Governors and the universities worked with me on the language. We wanted to, you know, moderate the liability factor for them, but at the same time, we wanted to get rid of this concept that you can put somebody in a spot. There's something antithetical about a free speech zone that you have to stay in this little square. And the whole concept of free speech. So it was a great day for freedom to for us to pass that bill this year. You know what's the most important thing we did this year? We passed a balanced budget, which apparently they can't do in Washington.
No, they can't do that. Yeah, and fiscally, Florida, because of that, has been in very, very good shape through lean times. You've made the proper adjustments through the years to adjust for a slow and low economy. And kudos to the folks who handled all that through the years.
I'm very proud of the fact that we lead the country in financial stability as a state because of this kind of mature leadership over a period of time. And it's keeping us on a trajectory of recovery and progress right now that we have that kind of stability. And, you know, and being able to say, no, we're going to live with what the people give us just like they do at their home table and at their small business. And it's paying off to make Florida a place that is a good place to live, grow, and grow a business.
Well, and it's a good place to retire. And if you've served your country, we love our folks that are veterans. And you wanted to address VA and the nursing home scenario.
Yeah, for several years we've been trying to get in the queue for our region to have the next veterans nursing home because we do have people that need that facility over time. And in this service area, for the reach of this station, I'm sure there's about 65,000 veterans, and some of those are going to really need our help. So it really could serve about 8 counties. This year we finally got designated some planning money, about $500,000, to establish that, to get that started in Marion County, and we will have all the connecting counties around us for about 8 counties that will have access for their veterans. It may take a few years to reach this pinnacle. I think this is number 9 for the state, and so we're kind of waiting in line to get it operational, but we needed to get our foot in the door and get this nailed down. So we're very proud of that step forward, and we're very proud of all the veteran-friendly things that were passed in our legislature. We want this to be the most friendly place in America for those people who serve the country that are in the military now and they're looking for places to come and build their lives.
Well, State Senator Dennis Baxley, we appreciate your time. We want to make it more of a regular thing, hopefully, because you're not busy enough as it is.
Well, it is important. I love being home. You know, none of us are safe as long as the legislature's in session. We can do things. First thing is to do no harm, you know. And so I promise that the main thing I'll do for you is kill a lot of bills. We had about 3,000 bills, and we wound up only passing about 200. So you don't want all that stuff to happen. By the time you figure out the unintended consequences, the juice is not worth the squeeze most of the time.
Well said, sir. Appreciate your time on the air, and hope to talk to you again soon. Keep up the good work and keep fighting the good fight.
Hey, let's make sure the next generation gets the America we were given. That's what I'm after.
Absolutely. State Senator Dennis Baxley on the Bob Rose Show. It is 8:28.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.